named Jesus, he shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she hath also conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God nothing shall be impossible. And Mary said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah, and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, and he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And Mary abode with her about 3 months and returned to her own house. In our text today, we find Mary. The text clearly tells us and implies that she is of low estate, that she is humble, that she is called upon of the Lord to do something or be a part of something that's really unimaginable. She's going to bear the Son of God. Her willingness to follow the plan of God meant some things for her that we'll consider in just a few minutes. But she becomes an instrument of the Lord in the redemption story. Similarly, we see Elizabeth here in this passage as well. We find her filled with excitement and filled with faith. She had to believe the promised one was here. By her statements, she recognized the divine purpose of God at work even before her own circumstances were complete. And so we're going to look at this situation here and consider God's perfect plan. And the focus of the message today is this. The main application I'm going to get to here in just a minute, but the focus of the message is this, to remind us that God's plans, even though sometimes they're hard to understand, are still undeniably perfect. God never does anything that is not perfect. And the main application here for us today is Mary and Elizabeth were chosen of God for unique roles. But each of us are also called of God to participate in God's plans, in God's design. No matter how ordinary a person's life may appear, no matter how what low degree a person may think they are, We are unique to the Lord and part of God's perfect plan. And the question is, how are we responding to God's perfect plan in our life? We might think of God's plan exalting or promoting us, but sometimes God's plan is even to demote us. How do we respond? Do we respond with humility to the perfect plan of God? And that's what I want us to consider today as we walk through this passage. First of all, consider with me the announcement of God's plan. The announcement of God's plan. Verses 26 to 33 tell us of this. Verse 26 says, "In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came in unto her and said, Hail, thou art highly favored, the Lord is with thee, blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. And the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shalt call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and shall be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The Bible tells us here that the angel Gabriel was sent by God to give the Virgin Mary one of the most important messages ever given. The virgin birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, the virgin birth of the Savior, is so important and so critical because it is at the center point of God's plan of redemption, the gospel message. What do we know about God's plan here? Well, first of all, we note that God's plan involves divine selection. What do I mean by that? Well, verse 26 tells us that God sent Gabriel unto a city of Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin espoused to a man named Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. The angel Gabriel was sent specifically to this place in Nazareth, to a specific person, the Virgin Mary, highlighting for us that God's plan is initiated through God's choice, God's selection of an individual chosen for God's purposes. Now, this is important. Why? Well, we need to understand something here. Mary was not special as far as pedigree goes. She was not special as far as rank goes. Mary actually came from a very humble background. She was not magnified in the eyes of men. She didn't have what the world would look at in terms of what is, quote, successful in the eyes of the world. She didn't have any of those things. But what she did have was a simple willingness to obey whatever it was that God had in store for her. Mary's humble background demonstrates that God's plans are often fulfilled through ordinary people. The Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians that God hasn't chosen the profound things of the world, but God has chosen foolish things, simple things. And the reason for that is so that no flesh would glory in God's presence. God's plans are often fulfilled through very ordinary people. God selected her. God chose her for this task, for this purpose. And it reflects God's sovereignty It reflects God's intentions to choose whom He will to serve Him for particular purposes so that He might be glorified. It shows us that His purposes, they transcend human expectations. They transcend human prejudices. And the application would be simple. We can fall guilty sometimes in ourselves of thinking that we don't have anything to offer God. We can fall guilty of thinking that I am not special. I don't have talent. I don't have abilities. I don't have things that God could take and use. And the application and the encouragement is this. Don't diminish yourself and don't diminish what God can do through you. Don't say, I don't have anything, or don't say, I don't have as much as others for God. And here's the truth. Here's the reason why. Because it's not about us. It's about what God chooses for His purposes. God's plans involve divine selection. God has something specifically for you. His purpose, His choice for you. Secondly, God's plan promises redemption. Verse 28 tells us that the angel came unto her. The angel gives this message. You're blessed among women. God has chosen you. Mary's troubled at the saying, and she didn't understand necessarily what this was. The angel said, don't fear. You found favor with God. God has chosen you for this task. In verse 31, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. Thou shalt call his name Jesus. We find in the other Gospels that he's called Jesus because he's going to save his people from their sins. Verse 32 tells us that he'll be great. He'll be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord shall give unto him a throne, the throne of his father David. He's going to reign. The message that's shared with Mary is obviously talking about the conception of Jesus Christ, who would be called the Son of God, who would save His people from their sins. And it shows us the redemptive work of Christ in human history. Now, the promise that Jesus would reign over the house of Jacob forever, that His kingdom will have no end, we've talked a lot about those things, but it indicates that God's plan is not only about personal salvation, but it's about restoration. It's about restoring what has been broken. And what a wonderful God He is to have that kind of a heart. The message reflects hope for you and me. It reminds us that God is still actively working, and God is working for a purpose to mend broken relationships. The broken relationship between humanity and Himself through the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look at verse 34. Verse 34 tells us and shows us that God's plan goes beyond human understanding. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? When the angel announces that Mary is going to conceive as a virgin, it introduces something miraculous that goes beyond the norm of human understanding. It goes beyond normal human activity or comprehension. Mary was initially confused, and she questioned about how this could occur. But what I want to make note of is Mary was not in unbelief here. She was confused. She was saying, How is this going to happen? But she wasn't in unbelief. And it reminds us and it shows us as believers that God's ways are often beyond normal comprehension. The Bible tells us that God's ways and God's thoughts are higher than ours. And nothing is impossible with God. It requires that we believe Him. Well, I think we see that in Mary. Because the next thing we note here is that she was accepting of God's plan. She was accepting of God's plan. Look at verse 34. Mary said, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? How can I be pregnant? Verse 35 says, the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. He talks about Elizabeth, who has conceived in her old age. And he makes a point of saying, hey, nothing is impossible with God. Your cousin Elizabeth in her old age has conceived and is going to bring forth a child as well. And then Mary says this, and Mary said, behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word. And the angel departed from her. Now Mary might have expressed some confusion of God's plan at first, not understanding how it's going to come to pass. But very clearly, she, in faith, accepts God's plan. And the question is, how do you accept God's plans when it doesn't make much sense to you? We need to follow God's plan, even when God's plan sometimes feels impossible. Verse 35 says, the angel said, it's the power of the Holy Ghost. It's the power of the highest that's going to make this happen. It was impossible for her. It seemed impossible for her. She asked a sensible question. How is this possible since I'm a virgin? And the angel said, well, it's not about you and it's not up to you. It's the power of God who's going to do this. And let me make an application. Again, we're talking about accepting God's plan. And we need to follow God's plan, even when something seems impossible. Accepting God's plan often means trusting in God's capabilities rather than our own limitations. Now, let me say it again, because this is important. What do we often see? How do people often respond? Well, I can't or I couldn't. I don't have anything to offer God because of this, this, and this. And what are we looking at? We're looking at limitations. But following after God's plan means trusting in His capabilities rather than looking at our limitations. Mary's willingness to embrace this seemingly impossible task, it demonstrated real faith, profound faith, illustrating that God often calls us to trust Him even when the situation appears beyond human capability. We're also called upon to follow God's plan even when it challenges our understanding. What was Mary's initial response? How can this possibly be? Her initial response demonstrates some discomfort, maybe. Discomfort of accepting something that seemed like it would go against her own understanding of how life works. Maybe some realization or discomfort of accepting something that would also come at a cost. I want you to think about this with me. Here's a young girl. I don't know how old she was, but she was certainly old enough to be married to Joseph, which was about to happen. She was old enough to bear children. But she was no doubt still a young woman. Think about her situation. You can't hide pregnancy, right? She's not married to Joseph yet. They haven't consummated that marriage. She's a virgin. But pretty soon, in a short order, she's going to start demonstrating and showing that something happened and she's with child. Imagine in her culture, imagine in society like hers. You can imagine the thoughts that probably went through her head. What are people going to say? Her reputation was going to be on the line. People are automatically going to assume the worst and think these things. She would have been trying to figure out her societal role, the expectations of marriage, the consequences of this, quote, unplanned pregnancy. All these things would have been going through her mind. And yet God said, I've chosen you for this. She would have understood what that might mean. And she still accepted God's plan for her. And the point is, and the application is, accepting God's plan can lead us to confront or have to confront some preconceived ideas, some biases. Mary's eventual declaration was, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord." It literally means, "I'm just the Lord's servant." That's what she said. If this is what God has chosen for me, I'm just the servant of the Lord. And it tells us that her choice was to prioritize God's will and God's guidance over even personal understanding, showing that faith sometimes requires this. Listen, it sometimes requires surrendering our need for clarity in situations. You understand what I mean by that? People say, "Well, I'm going to serve God," but see, they put these boundaries on it, and I'll do this. If God just says to do this, I'll do it. But then they say, "Well, I also have to understand how the end of it's going to be. I have to understand how all the path is going to work out. And when I feel good and comfortable about how all those things are going to turn out, I'm really surrendered to the Lord." But sometimes, when we're dealing with faith, it requires us to surrender that need for clarity and simply say, "I'm just the servant of the Lord. I can trust the Lord." And the point is, we don't always have to know the reasons why. I know we want to, but we don't always have to know the reasons why. And sometimes we stubbornly sit because we haven't been able to see the outcome. But following God's plan often challenges our understanding. We don't always have to understand the why. And sometimes it can feel impossible. But are we going to trust? Thirdly, following God's plan often leads to personal sacrifice. What did this mean for Mary? Accepting God's plan for her meant that she would face some significant personal challenges, including potential disgrace, including potentially separation from Joseph. How would he react? How would he respond? Including societal judgment, people being very judgy over what they're observing. And yet, she was yielded to the Lord. And her yieldedness, no doubt, would mean a path that was filled with trials and uncertainties. The Lord came to Joseph in a dream and told him, "Go ahead, take Mary thy wife. Don't be afraid to do that." That confirmed it for Joseph. But before that, Joseph was minded to put her away privately, not wanting to make an example of her. But he's like, she's with child, and it's certainly not mine. That was his reaction. She would have understood that before it ever came to be. And yet she said, "I'm just the Lord's servant." You remember in Jesus' life, when he went about in his ministry, what was said of him? "We be not born of fornication like you are." What's the implication? The reputation by that was given to Mary and Joseph, you know, by the unbelieving Jews and the Pharisees, it was still around. You understand this? Follow that? See, following God's plan sometimes leads to personal sacrifice. And following the will of God and the plan of God often comes with a cost. Embracing God's will may involve facing some discomfort, experiencing some loss, or what we might consider to be loss, like demotion or something like that. And yet Mary's response teaches us that truly accepting the Lord or God's plan requires us to submit to Him and live by faith. Choosing to follow God's plan and God's will, we might be called upon to let go of our, quote, comfort zones. You know what I mean by that? I always said, I'll do whatever the Lord wants me to do. I always believed that. I always said that. I really felt that in my soul. I'll do whatever God wants me to do. And then God asked me and told me to do something that was not on my radar, and all of a sudden it was like, whoa! I'm not so sure about that. You understand? All of a sudden, it's not inside of my comfort zone. I'll do whatever God wants me to do, but then God says, okay, here's what I want you to do, and that seems impossible. That's not comfortable. It's not what I would like to do. And the point is, sometimes it leads to personal sacrifice. And we'll sacrifice for the Lord as long as it's within the realm of what's comfortable for me. God may want us to let go of those comfort zones, so that He can use us to a greater degree to bring more glory to Him. Mary did that in becoming the mother of Jesus Christ. And so following God's plan sometimes might seem impossible. It might challenge our understanding. It might lead to some personal sacrifice. But when we do, and when we yield to the Lord, it sure does make an impact. And I want you to note that, the impact of God's plan. Go to verse 39. And Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. By the way, let me just stop here for a second. Mary just got the news that she is going to be the mother of the Son of God. Then she got the news that her cousin Elizabeth, who is past childbearing years, who's now in her old age, she's going to have a baby. And I think it was the sixth month that she was in her pregnancy. And what do we find Mary doing? Immediately, the text says that she made haste and went into the hill country to go and see her cousin Elizabeth in order to help her and serve her. That's not really part of the message, but I noted that in the text. I was like, that is a true servant's heart. She said, I'm just the servant of the Lord. God's chosen her for this task. And oh, my cousin's going to need some help. And she made haste and went through the hill country to go to her cousin Elizabeth. Moving on. Verse 41, and it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. And she spake out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come? For lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leaped in my womb for joy. And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said, my soul doth magnify the Lord. I want to talk just for a couple minutes before we close here about the impact that following God's plan can have. Mary went to stay with Elizabeth. When she arrived, she told the news. And clearly the power of God was evident immediately. Notice then the power of God's plan, first of all, to unite people, to unite lives. In this passage, we see Mary visiting Elizabeth, who was pregnant with John the Baptist. The moment that Mary tells the news, the baby in Elizabeth's womb leaped, the Bible says. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she says some pretty important things. And it tells us that not only is there a physical connection here, but there's a spiritual one that's happening. And it highlights for us how God's plan, when it's followed by willing servants of the Lord, has a way of bringing people together for a greater purpose. God's work and God's will is often hindered by divisions, by people who are not really surrendered to the Lord. Often they have their own agendas, and it gets in the way and stymies and hinders what God wants to do. But when you have a church full of people who are of the same mind, of the same heart, the same purpose, it unites people for the plan of God. Look at the church, first church in the book of Acts. There was harmony between these two. Their relationship was strong. And God's purpose can unify people across generations, across circumstances, because the focus is not on us, it's on the Lord. Mary hears all of this. Elizabeth says, the one in verse 45, and blessed is she that believed, referring to Mary, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And it caused Mary to say, my soul doth magnify the Lord. And what begins here, we won't take the time to read all of this, but Mary sings a song of praise. It's known as the Magnificat. And it reveals to us that she understood that what was about to happen was all according to the purpose of God and God's plan, even from generations past. She proclaims God's greatness. She reflects on how He has chosen, how she was chosen to bear the Savior. And it shows us she accepted her role that God had for her, not only shaping her own personal life, but also impacting countless others. And in her song, Mary recalls God's faithfulness and the fulfillment of His promise to Israel. And she's acknowledging the greatness of God in all of this. And the whole narrative illustrates that God's plan, and I want you to understand this, God's plan operates in a much larger context than just my life. You understand what I mean by that? God made some promises way, way long ago. And Mary had an understanding that God was fulfilling some things that were much bigger, much greater than just her own circumstances and what was going on in her life. God's promises endure through time, and it highlights His commitment to fulfill what He has promised. And it shows us that in the big picture, I'm simply a part of God's plan. And a part that God has chosen me for. But ultimately, His plan isn't about me. It includes me, but it's not about me. And I think we learn that from Mary, that she didn't feel like she had much to offer. She came from low pedigree. But she had something that all of us need, and it's a willingness to simply do whatever God has in store for us. This account of the announcement of Christ's birth, Mary's words, praising the Lord after this announcement, it illustrates that God's perfect plan unfolds often through simple, ordinary people. It reveals His immense love and unwavering commitment to you and to me. And Mary sets a good example, humbly accepting by faith God's perfect plan for her that had tremendous impacts beyond just her own life. And we're reminded that God often chooses the unlikely and the overlooked and the simple to fulfill His divine purposes. And so the encouragement today is embrace whatever it is that God has for you. Embrace whatever it is, whatever role that God has chosen for you in your life, because trusting Him with our life, trusting Him with the circumstances, trusting Him no matter how small they might seem or how big or impossible it might seem, trusting Him and following His plan can contribute to a much greater purpose than ourselves and have an impact for eternity. And so, may we, like Mary, respond to God's will and God's calling with a joyful, submissive, humble heart, knowing that it's God's perfect plan and God's perfect will that is at work in us, through us, for His glory. Amen? We often desire something more, but sometimes our motive is wrong. I want something more, but it's so that I can receive praise or receive glory. May we have a humble heart that simply says, I'm just the Lord's servant. And let God fulfill His perfect plans in our life, even if it costs us something. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, help us to be of the same heart and mind, simply willing, humble servants of the Lord, to follow after Your perfect plan, to allow You to accomplish Your purposes, and to understand that Your purposes are far, far greater than just the circumstances of my life. But what an impact my life can have when I simply follow with a humble heart the plan that You've set forth. Lord, I pray that You'd help us to receive that truth, that Your plans include us, but they're not about us. And it's so important and so critical that we simply say, I'm just the servant of the Lord, so that You can be magnified, that Your purposes can be accomplished, and so that our lives can have an impact in eternity. Help us to digest that, to absorb that truth, that message today, and Lord, even to do some self-examination. I pray this in Jesus' name, amen. Let's all keep our heads bowed, eyes closed for a moment. Our piano player is going to come.